beginning our afternoon. Once again, noticing the body. Notice the verticality of your body. Notice the front and the back, the left and the right. Relaxing into the mystery of the body. Appreciating the complexity, the communal life of the body. The mystery of the organ systems, the mystery of cellular awareness, the mystery of DNA and RNA, the mystery of the cooperation, the symphony of the body, the conversations of the deep conversations of the cells and the organ systems that keep our bodies integrated and alive. Noticing bone and blood and breath and nerves. The hardness of the body, the softness of the body, the electricity of the body, the fluidity of the body. Finding all four elements within the field of the body. Appreciating the mystery of the DNA, the unique, particular weaving that is you, that is like no other being. It is the housing of the imperishable flame, the fire of awareness, the fire of life, refracted through your particular nature, your particularity. Relaxing into that. Finding yourself as the living tree, rooted in the earth, extending into space, letting your branches embrace the worlds, giving leaf, flower and fruit through your existence, through your acts. Feel the roots of the tree extending through time and space. Feel the branches of the tree extending through time and space. Feel the trunk of the tree joining heaven and earth, creating stability amidst movement. Feeling that sense of sovereignty, the sovereignty of the spear and the rod that holds us upright, around which our shape revolves. Feeling our possession of that spear, our possession of that deep will, letting it shape us, letting it support us. Being one with the tree that is also us. Sinking into the deep of matter, sinking beneath cellular life, into the life of matter itself. Into the mystery of the molecule and the atom. Into the mystery of shaping and emptiness. Entering into the mysterious quantum reality of the body, the light made flesh. Discovering our solidity to be a cloud of possibility, a cloud of motion, presenting itself in the likeness of solidity, entering into that mysterious cloud of potential, into the mystery of uncertainty and possibility, finding in the midst of that the echo of the image of the chalice, of the cauldron cup, the chalice of awareness that holds the possibilities, into which all possibilities return, from which all actualities arise. Sitting with the body, with the tree, with the cup. Sitting with the mystery. Entering into the mystery of the light made flesh. Becoming the flowering and rooting stone. Entering the mystery of the stone, the monolith that stands erect. It is the densest of substance, and yet is simply the light made flesh. Entering into the mystery of being the living stone. Being the stone, being the rod spear. Being the cauldron cup, we breathe and open into newness and feel within our hearts the longing for home, the longing for the place beyond the opposites. We feel the touch of the living sword, the sword of light, which descends into the chalice, is incorporated in the tree, becomes the sword in the stone. Feeling that new impulse, that generation of new life, that longing for the place that renews, the place that is the place of peace, that is also the place of renewal and beginning. And as we feel this, we feel ourselves sinking inward and downward, deep into the mystery of the world, deep into the depth of the world. And we find ourselves upon a headland, looking west out to sea, hearing the sound of the waves. And as we look out into the west, into the twilight, for the sun is starting to set, there is a longing, a sea longing, a restlessness, a desire to find the place of beauty and the place of peace. Overhead, we hear the beating of great wings. And as we look upwards, we see above us three great swans flying towards the west. We hear the beating of their wings in the air that seem to vibrate through our bodies. And we feel as we watch them that longing for the place of peace, for the place of beauty, for the place of renewal. And beside us there is a pathway going steeply down from the cliffside to the waterside. And we slowly descend this path, breathing in the salt smelling air, hearing the rhythmic thunder of the waves. We pass to our left the little chapel of Gawain, the hermit who was once a knight of Arthur's court. We remember him as we continue our descent. Being careful as we step, for the steps are polished by many feet. And as we descend to the base of the cliff, we find ourselves in a small town built of beautiful stone, of marbles and polished granite, with many beautiful carvings, but empty now. We touch on something that once was an important place, that once was a beginning point of a great adventure, but few now come here. Few make the journey, and the town has become forgotten in time, except by those few of us who remember the way. We make our way through the little streets, through the silent houses, noticing both the beauty and the erosion of time, until we come to the harbour side and a jetty that goes out into the waters. And here we gather and wait, looking out to sea, looking out into the west, watching and waiting for that which will come. And far out on the water we see a speck which seems to rush towards us more and more swiftly. And we see coming to us a strange boat shaped like a swan, with a sail of silver and gold, and having a circled cross as its emblem. And we know that this ship will take us to the blessed isles of the West, where we may find the place of peace that is a place of renewal. And if it is our will, we enter the ship, finding our place within it. And when we are all boarded, the swan ship turns out to sea, skimming across the waters, through the waves, through the turbulence, going into the West, going into the place of loss and renewal. Following the sea hunger, the sea yearning, the sea longing, the longing for the new horizon. And we come at length to an island floating in the midst of the sea. And towards us we see a harbour town, and in the centre of the island a great hill, and on the hill a tower of pearl. And we see this glowing island dimly, for it is twilight when all colours blend together, and when the strange and jewelled light plays tricks on the mind. We follow in our ship, moving swiftly to the harbour and the jetty of this island, where we find a mirror image of the town that we have left. Except here, all is made new, all is fresh, shining with immediacy and newness and presence. The people of the town seem to be in their homes, so we do not see them, but we feel the life of the town all around us. It is a place of welcome. But we still feel the longing in our hearts, and we know that this is not our place to rest. And rising out of the town there is a white path made of beautiful stone that seems to glow and beckons us. And as we step upon this path, we move through time and space. It is as if we have 7-league boots, for we seem to move swiftly across the island through the twilight, through the green and flowery fields, through the forested places, till we come to the base of the hill at the centre of the island. And here we start to ascend the hill, and the path that has been straight now curves and bends around the contours of the hill. And to our right there is a great wall, and above the wall the shapes of mighty yew trees, through which we can see the beginnings of stars appearing in the early night sky. And to our left, beneath us, is the island and the sea, shining in the twilight, in the mixture of colours that comes when edges blur, when outlines soften. And we are aware both of the beauty of the island and the solidity of the wall on our right-hand side, and the power of the yew trees that loom over us. And we follow the path upwards, upwards, upwards. until we come to a forking of the ways, and one way goes straight upwards towards the Tower of Pearl, and part of our heart is drawn that way, but we know that this is not the moment to find the Tower of Pearl and to wake the sleeper who sleeps beneath it. We take the other path, turning to our right, which takes us to a strange and beautiful cottage, thatched with gold and silver, made of white stone with veins of silver and gold. A garden of great lushness and beauty, flowers and greenness. And on one side of the cottage is a great white lilac tree, on the other a great yew. And we are aware that this is the cottage that welcomes the lost, that welcomes the wayfarer, that gathers us in. And as we become aware of this, the door of the cottage opens. And on either side of the door stands a man and a woman, each holding a candle. They beckon to us, and slightly stooping to step through the door, we enter the cottage and find ourselves in a hall of welcome. We are given a candle to hold. We look at the candlestick that holds it, for it is of carved, strange wood. And as we contemplate the candle holder, we become aware that this is ours, that we have shaped it by the acts, the deeds, the thoughts, the feelings of our life. This is the candle holder that holds the light, that is our portion of the imperishable flame. And as we become aware of this, we become aware of many others seated around a long table in this room, each holding their candle holder, their light. We feel the warmth and the welcome of the room. We notice the particularity of each person's candle holder, the universality of each person's flame. We are one and many. We are many and one. And as we become aware of this, there is the sound of a great gong. And we become aware that we are summoned into another room within the cottage of welcome. We find ourselves walking a long corridor with tapestries on either side, with images and of story. If we look carefully and closely at these tapestries, we will see the great stories of the world. And also we may find our story woven in with the weaving of the world. And we notice this, but this is not the time to linger, for we are going to another place. We come through another low door into a room that is the room of the stories of mystery. In the center of the room there is a great log fire and the smell of pine wood. And in the hearth there is a strange silver and golden flame that burns but does not consume. This is the eternal fire of the cottage of welcome. This is the eternal fire of the room of story, whether saving stories are told, whether redemptive stories reshape the worlds. We find our place within this room, and we see that next to the fire is a great chair, and in the chair someone sits, and they are speaking. As they speak, we look into the fire, into the silver gold flames, smelling the resonance pine scent that does not ever be consumed. We enter into the mystery of the flame. And it is as if a further journey is being shown to us, and as if we are taken on a further journey. We find ourselves walking between two high green banks. And we know that this is the straight way, this is the short way, this is the direct way. This is the path into mystery. And in front of us suddenly is a great gateway, fashioned of silver and gold, a tree of silver and a tree of gold, intertwined at root and branch, mysteriously flowing into each other. And this is the door into mystery. And as we approach it, the gold shines and the silver shines, and the trees seem to writhe together, entwining together. And in a moment we step into silver gold light. So just bringing your attention back outwards.